You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, how hard would you just love to punch your boss in the face on National Bosses Day? We'll try to fix that bottled up rage and turn you into the apple of your boss's eye. Plus, Manny the movie guy on the huge movies coming out this weekend. And more proof that men and women are very, very, very different. Let's meet the friends. Taking time out of his busy day to be here for you in your time of need. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, we're going to open up by talking about the latest on the Lamar Odom situation.
And that's it for friends today. It's just you and me, buddy.
Friend.
Yeah. Hey, if you listen to this show on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the program by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, when they're not watching the baseball playoffs, they read your comments and notice your five-star reviews. And don't forget, while you're there, subscribe. Thank you very much. All right, let's get things started. Now, it is sad news for folks who didn't know. Just bring us up to speed. What exactly happened to Lamar Odom? At least, what do we know?
Okay, so a couple of days ago, Lamar Odom was found face down.
Famous basketball player, famous Kardashian TV show star.
Yeah. Famous for a lot of reasons, yeah. Most notably, especially early in his career, for being a Los Angeles athlete for their basketball teams. He was with the Lakers when they won a championship, went with the Clippers when they were on their hot run. I think he went to the Mavericks for a little while also. But really good basketball player, great teammate,
yeah.
Especially in a lot of those championship runs. And a couple of days ago, as I started, he was found in Las Vegas at a legal brothel, but face down. Foaming at the mouth, you know, substances around his mouth and nose, not in very good condition. So he was brought to a hospital in Las Vegas and actually put on forms of life support to help keep his organs working because he had shut a lot of those down by whatever substances he was consuming.
Cocaine? Is that what we coming to the conclusion on?
One of them. Yeah. He was found to have cocaine in his system. He also had some sexual performance enhancers called Reload, which I imagine would get the heart rate up also.
Is that like a Viagra or more of like a street Viagra?
Yeah, I think it's a street version, but more powerful because the thing's supposed to give you this two-hour burst. You know, Viagra, I think, is sort of slow releasing,
yeah.
12 to 24 hours, something like that. But this is like 2 hours of...
And then add the cocaine and your heart could explode, right?
Which is kind of what happened. If not your heart, then some of your other internal organs.
Yeah.
So now here he is 2 days ago. In the hospital, he's got a ton of supporters by his side, including his father. The Lakers were actually in Las Vegas for an exhibition game. A lot of them, you know, changed their flight plans, went by his bedside, Kobe Bryant included. The Kardashians, who he's also notable for being a part of their lives, married to Khloe Kardashian, considered an uncle to a lot of the kids we talk about, the younger ones.
Yep.
And unfortunately, now they're saying that he's really not looking very good. I apparently had kidney failure, which is no good. And whatever life support he's on that's helping keeping a lot of his major organs, vital organs, working, he's still on them. And he's not showing signs of improvement. And then the doctors are saying, well, if you don't show signs of improvement early, it really fatigues those organs.
Yeah. I read he had multiple strokes in the hospital. Is that the case as far as you know?
Yeah, as far as I know, allegedly. You know, a lot of this is hush-hush because even these reporters are reaching out to the hospital. The hospital's not responding. Really, all we have is whatever you get out of social media and the rag mags and a lot of the serious.
The reporters sneak in and they hand a $100 bill to a nurse or an orderly and say, what do you know?
What can you do to get me the scoop?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that are trying real hard to, the ones that want to make an impact.
Sure.
It's a big story right now. So now, where are we at? Everybody's praying for the best possible outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, present company included.
Now, Khloe still has a role. They're not officially divorced, are they?
No. No, they're estranged, which now I really do know what estranged means, because I think that means that you're still married, but not together.
Yeah.
Moving on.
And so she would make the call if there was a need to make a call about stopping the life support.
That's one of the theories out there. I can't confirm that or deny it.
Or
but
his family.
It doesn't seem
his family might have to get out there.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, his father's there. Don't you think his father would make the decision over his estranged wife? I mean, albeit sounds like she still loves him and she's there by his bedside and would make the right decision, I'm sure, or you'd like to think. But you would also like to think that someone a little bit closer to him at this stage of his life would make that call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. We'll see.
We know the Lakers won't make the call.
No. No, I don't think the Lakers, I don't think Mitch Kupchak's going to get involved with this one.
Mm, wow. Just a sad, sad situation, any way you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. And, you know, you hear the stories. Everybody says he's a really likable guy. Obviously put himself in some pretty troublesome positions.
He partied a little too hard at that brothel.
Yeah. Well, you add all that stuff together,
mm-hmm.
drugs, performance enhancers, brothel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's getting after it on another level.
I guess so. Another level.
Yep.
All right. Well, now we're on the subject of sports indirectly, and I guess the big sport right now that everybody's paying attention to, whether they do during the regular season when there's, 162 games in the regular season for Major League Baseball, all of a sudden everybody's a baseball fan because we're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And here in Los Angeles, of course, we're rooting for the Dodgers.
That's right.
Of course we are. But then you've got the Mets. You got the Mets and the Dodgers, a classic showdown, East and West. And it's coming down to what now? Game five?
Game five, which in this leg of the series, that's it. This is the deciding game. It's a five-game series. So the Dodgers play the Mets tonight, deciding game five, NLDS. And it's over here. It's in L.A. It's at Chavez Ravine. And it's a significant date, Phil, because October 15th, today, is actually 27 years to the day when Gimpy Kirk Gibson got up and hit a game-winning walk-off in the bottom of the ninth inning, 1988.
Against Oakland.
27
was
years
against
ago.
No.
I believe.
Not against Oakland because that would have been a World Series game. No, who was it against? Now, I don't remember.
Well, good question.
The event itself has eclipsed the facts because this, indeed, is one of, I think everyone will agree, one of the top five sports events ever.
Sacks waiting on deck, but the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
See Mike back there with a smile from ear to ear.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know what? And I just remember Dennis Eckersley throwing that pitch, and he pitched for Oakland at the time. But it would be too early for the World Series, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that was a championship series. I think that one got him to the World Series.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and then I think Vin goes on to say one more thing. He said, the only thing that was left to resolve was whether Gibson could actually make it all the way around the bases, and that's how bad his legs were.
Right. Yeah. He was on one leg, literally. He was hobbling. But you have to figure you have enough adrenaline pumping through your system at that point.
Yep.
And as many fist pumps as he was throwing down around first and second, it looked like he was going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Dodgers are looking to recapture some of that magic tonight. They're going to have the memory in the air. Everybody's going to be fired up. I mean, really, Phil, it's been a killer Major League Baseball postseason. The TV ratings are showing it. They're averaging something like 4 million viewers per game.
Yep.
But, you know, the Cubs go and beat St. Louis. They win their first ever National League Division Series at home. That place just went bonkers after they won. The Royals overcame the Astros in five games.
Yep.
And then last night, you had Toronto playing, and in the seventh inning, they're playing the Rangers, and in the seventh inning,
meltdown.
A meltdown like you've never seen. First, there's three errors on the part of the Rangers, and then the Blue Jays just go nuts, including Jose Bautista, Joey Bats, who follows me on Twitter, by the way.
One he
of
does?
My first, yes.
No, are you sure it's him?
I swear, blue check mark and everything. Yeah, I had to send him a congratulation tweet this morning.
How about that?
He got up in the bottom of the seventh.
He thought you were Chris Martin.
Hammered one about, he did. That's why I think I have a few followers with blue check marks. Yeah. They think I'm the other Chris Martin.
Yeah, right.
He hammers one like 500 feet out, almost out of the stadium.
And that's uber human to hit 500 feet.
Yeah, I think it was 460, something like that.
Yeah.
He pounded the ball. And then he turns and just whistles the bat out of his hands and down the batting line. which the opposing team didn't take kindly to, because next thing you know, shortly after, the bench is clear.
That bat went about 300 feet, didn't it?
Yes, he threw it almost to the outfield wall. Mm-hmm. He threw the bat almost as far as he hit the ball.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other team is saying, look, that's childish behavior.
Mm-hmm.
The bench is clear twice, like I said. It almost pulled the pitchers out of the bullpens.
Yeah, showboating seems to be okay when you're doing it, but when the other team watches you showboat, especially in a supercharged situation like that was, they could take umbrage to it, and all of a sudden, bench clear, right?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, and they're not very pleased in the moment, so, you know, they're just trying to save a little bit of face.
Yeah. Somebody on this program, I want to say it was Ted Thrashpie Pritchard, said that Toronto was going to win the World Series.
Not impossible.
Yeah.
It's not who I'm going with, but I do have family up in Canada, so I know that they're all on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. Well, who are you going with, the Cubs?
Yeah, I'm going with the Cubs.
You are?
No, I'm going for the Dodgers. What are you, nuts?
Well,
I live in Los Angeles.
I know. I was thinking that you would think with your head, not with your heart.
Well, it's a great story. The Cubs story is a great story. Something like 1907, 08, the last time they even won a playoff series.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Sure.
So it's a great story, but I don't care. I live in California.
Attaboy. You know? That's what we like.
East Coast versus West Coast tonight. Let's see if we can make some magic happen.
What do you think? Michael Jackson was ever, I don't know, disrobed with famous ladies? Also disrobed. Do you think you ever wonder
Michael
about
Jackson?
That? Michael Jackson.
No, not, I don't feel like he ever got naked very much.
A famous lady apparently got naked with Michael Jackson. And I'm going to tell you who she is next, right here on the program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You know how quickly we forget and kind of remember. You know, back in 1988, the way baseball worked, you had two teams in the American League and two teams in the National League. They were the champions, and then they'd hash it out in a five-game series, and then those two teams would go to a seven-game series for the World Series, a best of seven.
Okay.
And that was it. There wasn't as much postseason baseball in 1988. But my memory did serve me right. It was Dennis Eckersley who delivered the pitch, and it was, in fact, the World Series when Gibson hit that home run. It was game one, and it was a walk-off home run. The Dodgers ended up winning, and then they went ahead and won 4-1 for their sixth World Series title, the Dodgers.
There you go. Good. I'm glad we were able to correct that.
Yeah, and then the other thing, we were talking about the Cubs. They've got a great coach who's taken other teams to the World Series, had a lot of success. But I think there's some other background as to why the Cubs are going to win this year. It's because in Back to the Future, they predicted that in 2015 the Cubs would win against Miami.
Well, there you go.
Now, of course, the Marlins aren't playing. And they're not called the Miami Marlins, are they? They should have adjusted it in time for this season because that might have helped them along with fate.
Right, yeah. Just give them that added boost.
We do have hoverboards.
We do, yeah. And we actually, on the show fun page, we actually show people getting wrecked on hoverboards.
Exactly.
It's great family entertainment.
It's fun. Just watch it over and over again. When Jane Fonda was making On Golden Pond, ask your grandma about that movie. I'm old enough to have seen it. This was in the early 80s. Michael Jackson visited the set for 10 days, and Jane says, quote, "We lived together. I went skinny dipping with him." Also, by the way, with Greta Garbo.
Hmm.
Michael wanted to be an actor, apparently, and one of the reasons he came was to hang with Katharine Hepburn and pick her brain, and she eventually accepted Michael, but at first she wasn't interested in talking with him. Jane says, when I first asked Hepburn for her permission, she was not happy. Then the crew said, you don't understand, it's Michael Jackson. And Jane makes it sound like Michael's color had something to do with Hepburn's initial objection. She was old school, Kate Hepburn.
Well, all she had to do was wait a little while. He'd change that.
Yeah.
That aspect.
That's right.
You have to figure Jane Fonda brought up the skinny dipping, right? Michael Jackson doesn't seem like the type that was...
He would never kiss and tell.
Yeah, for one, and also didn't seem like the type that was real provocative that way or was into removing his... I don't know. Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. I get the feeling that he was kinky in a lot of ways.
I guess so.
But just never really...
Especially with some of those reports.
But kept it kind of quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and until somebody broke the news about it, then it became salacious entertainment news and everybody was talking about it.
Right. Have you ever been skinny dipping, Phil?
No, I don't think so. Not in a conscious state, I haven't. No.
Yeah, not that you remember?
No.
Yeah. It's a rush. I'll tell you that.
I've been to a nude beach.
You have?
Yes.
Did you participate?
I got very badly sunburned in places that had never been badly sunburned before.
So you went to a nude beach and you were nude with the rest of the nudists?
Well, because you feel like a complete idiot
if
with
you're
your
not.
Clothes on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, the only time I went skinny dipping once, but it was at night.
Yeah?
I couldn't imagine being in the middle of the day at the beach.
Well, what's the point if you do it at night? Come on.
It's because there's something to be left to the imagination a little bit.
Yeah, right. Okay. And if you do it at night, you're probably with somebody, had a couple of drinks, and it's going to lead to something else.
That's right.
Like a shark attack.
If you're lucky. A shark attack.
Coming up in a little bit, we're going to hear from Manny, the movie guy, and just a little movie story here for you to sink your teeth into. Apparently, there's a sixth Die Hard movie in development, and it might be a prequel called Die Hard Year One. And even though the first movie came out in 1988, you know, the year Kurt Gibson hit that home run, and Bruce Willis is 60 years old, he still might star in it.
Hmm.
And it's a prequel.
As the father?
As the original guy, I think. Can Hollywood make a 60-year-old guy look 20-something?
Well, I'll tell you what. Computer graphics have come a long way.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Oh, hold on a second. Okay, here's the idea. It says right here, the idea is to have a younger actor play John McClane in 1979 and have bookend segments set in the presence with Bruce.
Okay. Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Some flashbacks. Flash forwards, I suppose.
This would actually be the second movie where Bruce and a younger actor played the same role. He and Joseph Gordon-Levitt did the same thing when Joe was assigned to his older self in the time travel movie Looper.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie.
You remember Looper?
I just saw Jorson. Gordon-Levitt? What's his first name?
Jordan.
Jordan?
No, Gordon.
No.
Gordon.
Gordon.
Hold on a second. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I just watched The Walk, which he was in.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was very entertaining. And actually saw some of the interviews of the guy that actually walked between the two towers.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon-Levitt pulled it off. He really pulled off the character.
Tell me if you've done this before.
Go ahead.
And you reminded me of it because we found the documentary about the actual thing, and I forget what it's called, Tightrope or something like that.
Walk on Wire or Man on Wire.
Yeah, exactly. That's
very
right.
Good.
Considered watching it, but I was sitting on the couch with my lovely wife, Remy, and we were flipping through the on-demand Netflix. About 45 minutes later, we were still flipping through the available movies on on-demand Netflix.
Yes.
Have you done that? We ended up not watching anything. Well, we did. We thought we would give some new TV comedy a try. And I don't even remember what it's called. But who's that funny guy, the English dude?
He's Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais, and he plays kind of a touched fellow in a old folks' home.
Right. I saw the previews for that, and it does look funny. Funny, dramatic.
Yeah, it's both. It's touching. And it's funny at the same time. But then again, you feel almost bad laughing at Ricky Gervais's character because
he's mentally handicapped or something.
Yeah,
isn't he?
And you end up laughing at that.
Right.
And it's almost like they're daring you not to laugh at it. And so you feel bad watching the movie while you're enjoying the movie, and it's just the weirdest thing. So we watched the debut of that. And forgive me for not remembering the name of it, but you should be able to find it.
I think it's the name of the character. although I can't remember it.
Yeah, like Derek or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's my Netflix experience also, though. I was sans job for a little while, and so I took advantage of the 30-day free trial.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the 30 days, there was nothing left for me to watch. You know what I mean? Really, you can burn through what's good on Netflix pretty quickly.
Yeah, but what I found out, and my wife pointed it out as well, we have a lot of movies to watch. And it's true. We watch like 3 movies a year.
Huh.
And so I'm still in like 1988 to stay current.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what you do. You end up going back and watching old movies that you might not have watched, but you've sort of run out of all the good ones.
Here's the latest movie we watched. Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah. That's Will Smith.
No.
That's what's that one?
No, it's Anthony Perkins. Anthony Perkins? Not Anthony Perkins. Anthony Hopkins. Yeah, Anthony Perkins was a character in the movie because it was all about getting the movie Psycho produced.
He was playing Alfred Hitchcock?
Anthony Hopkins was playing Alfred Hitchcock. And it took me about 10 minutes to realize it was him.
Hancock, by the way, is the Will Smith movie.
Oh, different. Mm-hmm. Different cock.
Yeah, but closely related.
Yeah. All right, fine. On the subject of movies, you going to see one this weekend?
No, this weekend.
We have some good ones coming out. There's the Tom Hanks movie. That looks good.
Oh, it does.
That looks good. There's you read the Goosebumps series of books when you were a kid, right?
I did.
Okay, there's that. And there's a scary, scary movie, one of those Guillermo del Toro movies.
Crimson Peak?
Yes.
They are advertising the life out of that
thing.
Does
that look scary?
Yeah.
And something's up with Manny. I just don't know what it is. Manny the movie guy?
Yeah, our favorite.
I'm worried about him.
Uh-oh.
I am. I truly am. And we're going to hear from him next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hi, how are you? No kidding. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the man who demanded decorators come in and completely redo the news set at KMIR-TV in Palm Springs, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. I demanded it right now.
It's in your rider, isn't it?
Right.
Oh, man. Great to hear from you. We missed you last week, but that's I'll ask you about that in a minute because there's some huge movies this weekend. And Jack Black is in a movie, and it's always a romp when he's in a movie. And this is a series of books that almost every kid younger than maybe 35 got to read, right?
That's right. It's called Goosebumps, based on the popular children's book series. Honestly, I was pretty impressed with the movie. The filmmakers decided to create their own mythology for the movie without losing any of the spirit or the appeal of the R.L. Stine novels. Jack Black plays the author, Mr. Stine himself, who must team up with his daughter Hannah and the new neighbor teenage boy named Zach because Stine's ghosts and monsters from his books have been accidentally released and they must be stopped before overrunning the town. Goosebumps is scary enough without being too ghoulish for the little ones, and grown-ups will be entertained. Goosebumps, though, has more tweets than tricks. I just wish it had just a little bit more bite, but it still gets 3 kisses for me.
3 kisses. And does it have a feel after you were done watching it? Yeah, I could watch another 7 or 8 of these movies.
You know what? To be honest with you, you love it when you're watching it, but you just walk out of it and forget all about it.
Oh, okay. All right, fine.
That all depends on box office, though, doesn't it? If it goes in and does $40 million, then we'll see Goosebumps 2,
exactly.
3,
and
4.
And I think this will be number one at the box office.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
Even though Guillermo del Toro is a twisted dude.
I love him. I love twisted dudes.
All right.
It says something about you.
I'm marking that down, and I'm putting it in the book. It's going on your permanent record.
Good.
All right. The movie's called Crimson Peak, and during the commercial break, Chris pointed out to me, and correctly so, that they are advertising the heck out of this one.
Oh, they are. And you know what? They are really, really marketing this as a super-duper horror scary movie. It really is not. That's my main problem with the film. And by the way, this movie is also about an author, but this one stars the lovely Mia Wasikowska, and she's Edith. She's an aspiring writer during the turn of the 20th century who falls in love with the mysterious Tom Hiddleston, and Jessica Chastain stars as his wicked sister, but all the actors are no match to the real star of the show, a house with a haunted history. And you mentioned Guillermo del Toro. I adore him. I love director Guillermo del Toro. He's a master of atmosphere, but this time he lets the mood take over the story. The result is a beautiful, atmospheric movie worthy of a painting like those gorgeous Hammer films from the 60s.
Wow.
For those?
Yeah, sure.
But if you're looking for a scary movie, this one will give you just a few goosebumps.
Oh, okay. So you could see goosebumps or you could get goosebumps.
Right. But if you want a lavish gothic drama, then this one's for you. Crimson Peak also got 3 Haunted House Kisses from me, but really it's more because of the production design.
Yeah.
3 out of how many, Manny? How many
out
kisses?
Four.
Is out of 4, okay.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
No.
You know, I think the demographic will be kind of turned off by it.
Yeah, plus, you know, there's a line of demarcation. After you get past the fourth kiss, something else is going to happen.
Right.
That's when you start to get to third base.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this Tom Hanks movie looks just out of this world good.
Yeah. Well, hello, it's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
We all worship at the altar of Steven Spielberg.
But you know what? When Tom Hanks takes on one of these bigger-than-life roles, he's going to nail it in almost every case.
And he's just amazing as a man with conviction. He's, you know, the Atticus Finch of this film.
Yeah.
But this one is a riveting Cold War espionage thriller. It's called Bridge of Spies, and it's also co-written by the Coen brothers. So there's Oscar.
Oh, really? Holy cow, those guys are good too.
Right. And so the real-life story, of course, has Hanks as James Donovan, an American attorney, an insurance attorney of all things, who must negotiate the release of a U-2 spy plane pilot who was shot down over Russia at the height of the Cold War. The whole film is set in 1957. Now, Hanks is perfect, as I said, as a man with conviction, and Mark Rylance, as a captured Russia spy, Rudolf Abel, deserves an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor. His performance is deft with world weariness. The bridge in the title, of course, talks about the handoff point between Abel and the U.S. pilot Francis Gary Power, played by Austin Stowell. It's the Glinic Bridge between the Eastern Bloc and West Berlin. Aided with a great production design as well, this is an implicitly moralistic film with an eye and heart for the good old red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
And
USA!
That,
USA!
Gets 3.5
across
the bridge.
You reserve those 4s. Don't you?
I do, yes. So far, I've only given Steve Jobs a 4.
No kidding.
Inside Out, I've given that a 4 as well.
Yeah, how about that? Well, you got to save him for the good ones.
And now, The Martian, I gave that a 4.
You gave The Martian a 4?
Yes.
Wow.
I enjoyed The Martian.
You know what, Manny? I know you're putting on a good face because you're a pro, but I sense a touch of something in your voice. You aren't depressed about something, are you?
I am. It's really, really depressing. Now, here's the deal. Next week, you know, I love Eddie Redmayne, and I am so looking forward to interviewing him for The Danish Girl. Have you guys been seeing the trailer for it? Where he plays the first, pretty much the first famous transgender person in the whole wide world, the turn of the century, 1900s. But I won't be able to interview him. It's going to be in London, but guess what?
What?
It's going to be the same weekend as I have VIP tickets to see Madonna in Vegas.
Oh, man.
Forget their queen. I have my own queen.
Yes, look at that. See? The gods are smiling upon you, Manny. You couldn't get to sit with Eddie Redmayne in London. Instead, you get to go to Madonna.
And it's VIP for the very first. I've seen her so many times, but this is the first time I'm going to be in the front row and center.
VIP, what does that mean? Are you going to meet and greet later?
No, are you kidding me? She never does meet and greet.
But it's you.
It's real, exactly. What a view. Plus, we have the VIP entrance, we get free buffet, free drinks, the whole shebang.
Wow.
And free swag.
Okay, I'm looking for the selfies.
You will see my selfies.
You've been so Facebook busy lately.
I'm a Facebook hoe, yes.
This is how I know about the new set on your news organization there in Palm Springs.
Right.
It's a really good-looking set, you know, especially when you come out with those bright colors.
Thank you. Yes, it's all about red.
And timing is bad. You were just in London, and Eddie Redmayne was not. So
I know, but at least Michael Fassbender was there.
So you can't do a Skype or something like that?
No. They, you know, what's the point? You know, what's the point of that if you can see them one on one?
I know you like to lean over and touch them on the knee, don't you?
And their knees.
Yeah. ManyTheMovieGuy.com. Go visit his website. Look at some of his interviews and all the knee touching that's going on.
Thank you so much, you guys.
And we'll talk to you next week if you survive this whole Madonna thing.
That's right. Next week we'll talk about The Last Witch Hunter, my fun interview with Vin Diesel and the whole shebang.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Manny. Talk to you next week. All right. It's the highlight of the week talking to him, isn't it?
It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, tomorrow.
Okay.
You know what tomorrow is?
Friday for me.
It's National Bosses Day.
Oh.
And you may not give a crap. And I'll tell you why. A recent Gallup poll says 70% of employees dislike their bosses. And that sounds pretty hopeless. But maybe not. Our next guest will teach you how to have a positive relationship with the worst boss on the planet. No, really. And that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. There are only 551 people who've been in space. And when I say only, does that seem like a big number to you?
Not really, considering the population of the world.
Yeah, and the fact that we've had people up in space stations for a couple of decades now, right?
Yeah.
By the way, the definition of being in space is at least 50 miles above the Earth.
That's a long ways above the Earth.
Yeah, definitely it is.
I'd like to join that group. I think those numbers are going to go up significantly as we progress technologically.
Yeah. Now, this math doesn't quite add up, but the self-centered, delusional logic behind it apparently does. A new study found that 81% of people believe they are the most productive person in their office. That means 4 out of 5 of your coworkers are walking around thinking they're the best employee of the company.
All right. Well, imagine being asked that question and saying, no, you're not the most productive. It would be a difficult thing to do, right? I wonder how they presented the question.
Yeah. Well, 89% say that they are unnecessary. There are unnecessary distractions at work. The top 4 are useless meetings, excessive emails, unexpected phone calls, and their boss micromanaging them. 33% of people take a half-hour lunch break. 26% take a full hour, 13% don't take one at all. I think I'm one of those people. I don't take a break.
Well, that's not healthy.
It's not?
No, you're supposed to stop, take a break somewhere in the middle of your day, have a little bit of food, a little bit of decompression time, you know, recharge the batteries, so to speak, so you go back into the second half of your day fully charged.
Yep.
Then you go take on the world. I agree with a lot of that, though. There are a lot of unnecessary distractions in most workplaces.
Yep.
Tends to hinder productivity.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, more than half the people have held out on going to the bathroom to hit a deadline in the past week.
Well, you just hope that doesn't end in a mistake.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. Now.
Yes.
A new poll is out. It asks the question, are you friends with your boss?
It's a good question.
It's a tough dilemma. And always a tricky situation. So this makes sense. According to a new survey, Americans are basically split right down the middle. 49% say they consider their boss a friend. 51% do not. But maybe you should.
Maybe you shouldn't.
3 out of 5 people say they are pretty sure people who are friends with the boss get special treatment at work.
Hmm.
Survey also found that 18% of people are friends with their boss on Facebook or other social media.
Which is dangerous. We've read some stories about that going awry.
And 49% of people say they consider their boss a friend, and for the ones who got raises, there's a good chance it's more like friends with benefits.
Hmm.
That's a joke. I threw that part in.
Well, when you have a boss like I do in radio that is so really intelligent and easy to communicate with, talented, passionate, and open, it's easy to become friends with him.
Get over here. Let me give you a kiss. All right. Tomorrow is National Bosses Day. This is why we're talking about the boss. And if you're smart, you'll suck up to the boss and buy a thoughtful gift. But don't ask me for advice. All right. Let's bring in an expert. Dr. Kevin Mays has helped thousands of leaders and hundreds of teams revolutionize their performance. A psychotherapist with a 10-year group dynamics background, he's the developer of the Totem Team Dynamics Model. His book is Totem, Mastering Team Performance. Dr. Kevin Mays, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here. Glad
now,
to be.
In a bit, I want to ask you what TOTEM stands for, but let's say you have the worst boss on the planet. There's no changing him or her, is there?
There is not, and that's the first step, I think, in working with a terrible boss is recognizing you're not going to change that person. You have to change yourself and your perspective.
Right. You have to look inward because you can't turn the boss around. And by the way, in case you missed it, he's the boss. What he says goes. Right.
He's the boss. What I find most folks, though, they end up just kind of projecting all their own authority issues onto this person who's doing the best they know how to do. And they end up creating this person into a monster as much as the boss is doing it. The employees are every bit as responsible sometimes as the boss is.
Yeah, no, the boss isn't always the owner of the company either. So he or she is answering to a whole chain of corporate vice presidents, and there's a lot of pressure on your boss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What they find is the level of engagement that I heard you allude to earlier, it's contagious. If the highest level of leadership doesn't demonstrate engagement with their teams, it's going to trickle throughout the entire organization. You're going to have an entire organization of disengaged people all pointing their finger up at the people above them.
Yeah. Now, isn't the key to getting your boss to love you is to bring as much value to the proposition as you possibly can? If you're the employee that improves the team one way or another, value is either in improving sales or improving profile or helping the rest of the team be more prolific at what it is they do, then your boss has no choice but to love you, right?
That is absolutely it. Different than what you demonstrated earlier in the brown nosing your boss, the most effective thing you can do is be the most effective employee. You can't be your best self.
Yeah.
If you're your best self, you're going to make your boss shine.
And you can fall into that pit, that old pitfall at work when you start, like you said, focusing all of your issues outward at the boss, and then it makes it more and more difficult for you to excel at your job and bring value to the proposition.
Well, then you become a victim.
Yeah.
And what I find, if I'm a victim, I'm complaining about the boss, I'm going to find somebody else who's complaining about the boss too. And we're going to create this spiraling negativity, this culture of negativity in the organization, blaming somebody else. Whenever you're blaming somebody else, you have to look within.
Yeah, yeah.
You're putting yourself in the perspective of being a victim.
Now, what do you recommend people do on National Bosses Day?
On National Bosses Day, see the person for the person that your boss is. It's wonderful to sit down and maybe thank them.
Yeah.
Being a boss is a thankless job. It truly is a thankless job. And to be able to say, you know, even if you don't get along with your boss that well, hey, I appreciate what you're doing here. And to be able to give them some positive feedback and see them human to human, because we can so easily dehumanize the person across the desk from us, or if they have the authority over us.
Yeah.
To be able to reach your arm out and to be able to start to create a deeper level of relationship with that person,
yeah,
deeper connection, it'll make all the difference.
Now, how do you avoid being awkward and that reaching your arm out to the boss all of a sudden turns into, get back to work, Hewlett?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But for me, it's just about being authentic and say, hey, it doesn't need to take that long.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be that much of a loss of resource to be able to say, hey, I just wanted to take a moment to sit down and you know, it is Boss's Day. I just wanted to thank you. I know we don't always see it eye to eye, but I know you have the best intention, and I'm doing the best I know how to
yeah,
make you look good.
All right, your book is called Totem, Mastering Team Performance. And what does Totem stand for?
Well, totem stands for just that, totem. So traditionally, think of Native indigenous people, Native Americans, they use the totem to describe the, to tell a story of a culture, of a clan, or of a tribe, or of a family. Hmm. Well, I use the same idea, the totem, to describe the culture of a team.
Yeah.
So every team, you know, the old saying, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And it's true that when people come together and form a team, there is this larger dynamic that starts to happen.
Yeah.
Yet in all my experience working with leaders, I have yet to see a leader who understands and knows how to manage that dynamic. Instead of leading teams, they lead individuals.
Yeah, right. Now, here's the thing with teams, though. There's always at least one person who's an absolute load.
and the rest of us have to pick up the slack?
Yes, exactly. No, wait a minute. That's not the first time you've heard that, is it?
But here's the question I ask, is why is that person a load?
Yeah.
The first day, I go back to the Gallup poll that you talked about. You know, they say, but 70% of employees don't like their job or, you know, don't really show up fully at work.
Yeah.
70%, that means on a team, 3 out of 10 people are actually there, and those 3 out of 10 are thinking everybody else is a load.
Yeah.
But now what happens if I work with you and I think you're a load, how is that thought pattern going to impact the way I behave with you?
Oh, okay. So it's about me, isn't it?
Well, I start to treat you differently, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
So at day one, when people start a new job, they're excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Love their new job.
Yeah.
What happens then? Why is it 2 years and 3 years into it, 70% of people don't love their job?
They get jaded because they're not appreciated or they don't feel such.
Yeah. And it all goes back to the boss. Absolutely, absolutely. The boss's job is not to tell people what to do or to drive people to get things done. A true leader is somebody who makes other people better.
Yeah.
If a leader did nothing but focus on doing that, that leader would be wildly successful. But instead, they default to doing these things that they've always done. Telling people what to do, go into this command and control mode, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. I'm in charge.
Yes, exactly right.
All right. Now, if I ever am the boss, and I hope my employees love me. I really do.
Well, that's up to you, isn't it?
I guess it is. I'm going to have to look outward no matter what. But you employees, don't forget, I have needs as well. Well, listen, it's been wonderful speaking with you, sir. The book is called Totem, Mastering Team Performance. It's in the store in the number one position at philhewlettandfriends.com. Dr. Kevin Mays, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Have a wonderful afternoon. Happy Bosses Day.
Okay. Thank you very much. Same to you. Well, there you go. See, he seems like he'd be a nice boss.
Yeah, I get the feeling from him.
Friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, supportive.
Seems like he would help inspire his team members.
Yes, I think so. Hey, that's it for hour one. It's flown by already, and there's so much more to come, including the Jeopardy genius may have been done in by a case of the shingles. You'll understand what I mean when we explain. Plus, dust off that Sansa belt. We have a list of the things grown men should never wear. Those stories and a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, do you watch The Jeopardy? Do you watch that program? There was an absolute freak on there who didn't look like he was ever going to lose. But somehow, they picked a topic and he met his match. You know what the topic was? Not going to tell you. You got to wait on that. Chris is here. I'm Phil. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's hour two of the program. And we're also waiting to see if Jeremy, our tech guy, is going to be on the program.
Antacuni.
That's right.
I like to say his last name.
It. And I wonder if Grandma Antacuni says Antacuoni.
Yeah, that's an Italian name?
I think so, yeah.
It sounds like it, doesn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got to get Jeremy to step out of his palatial suburban estate and sit by the pool and sip a tea and talk to us on the program.
Well, he might have to unwrap the gauze and bandages around his head also,
yeah,
from what I understand.
Did you know that he slipped and fell and hit his head at the pool? Did you know that? Yeah. Learn a lesson, kids. Don't run near the pool.
Well, you're supposed to salt the concrete.
Salt it?
Yeah, salt it or put something that's going to give you some sort of
silica.
Grab. Silica sand, or you can put a medium broom finish on it, something that when it gets wet, you're not going to slide and bust a tailbone.
Thank you, Chris the Builder.
See? That's right. Quality construction, that's what we're all about.
But still, if you've got that silica on there and there's water on it, and you take a run, it could still slip, and you know, you hit your head on the coping, and it's over.
Always possible. You know, I have a friend that came back from a cruise recently. He was out on one of those big cruise ships,
yep.
And they had a dance contest out on the pool deck, and he decided that he was going to do that move where you run as fast as you can, and you drop down to your knees and slide across the pool deck, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, he didn't realize that this pool deck actually had lots of silica sand built into the pool deck so people wouldn't fall, exactly for that reason.
Right.
He went down on both knees and slid about 4 feet before the friction stopped him. He ended up having to go to the nurse's office.
Did they give him a glass jar to go back and collect the skin that he left on the...
He had just ripped epidermis all over the poolside.
Remember that band, Ripped Epidermis? Weren't they great?
Fantastic.
Punk band in the late 70s. Good stuff. All right, now let's get the show started this second hour for real. We're just goofing around.
Yeah, that's what this show is.
But we have some topics.
Okay.
We have a whole stack of stories here that, frankly, we didn't know about. And you know what went huge viral a couple of weeks ago was Pizza Rat. Everybody knows the Pizza Rat meme, and for whatever reason. Not just kids these days, but grandmas who go on the internet. They know what the Pizza Rat is.
Yeah, because it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And for a rat to be cute is uncommon.
Sure, of course. They're cute. That very moment before the boa constrictor eats the rat, there's a moment of cuteness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment of horror.
Exactly.
This one in particular, because this pizza rat, if you haven't seen it and you're living under a rock, this rat literally has a full slice of pizza, and not a slice cut up like Domino's would do it, like a quarter of a pizza in its mouth.
Yeah.
And it's trying to drag it up these stairs even because he wants to take his food back home.
Right. It's a Supreme, too, and he knows value.
Right. Yeah, it's got all the toppings on it, and he's thinking, oh, this is going to last me a week as he tries to drag it up the stairs.
Now, is there a rival rat out there on the internet getting just as many views?
There is. There's now another rat video that's making its rounds. Usually there's, you know, it's a copycat society. And it's called Rat vs. Pigeon, Phil.
Uh-oh.
This one is not nearly as cute as
pigeons.
Pizza rat.
Pigeons are known in many circles as flying rats.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what they remind me of. And in this case, it's, I guess, a rat versus a flying rat, because this video is like 3 minutes long. This rat jumps on the back of this pigeon that's on the ground and begins wrestling it. I mean, using all its strength, and it's, you know, maybe three quarters the size of the pigeon, but the pigeon's certainly larger, and literally wrestles it to death, Phil.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is cannibalistic almost.
Well, no, I mean, it's the bird is a meal to the rat.
Right? Right. Yeah. That's what he was looking at it as. I guess desperate times call for desperate measures. The pigeon, it gets free for a second, even as this rat's wrestling it. The pigeon gets free and sort of hobbles down the sidewalk a little bit, but the rat just hauls buns and jumps back on the back of the pigeon, chases it down, jumps back on the back of it, drags it around the sidewalk. It actually hoists it up this this curb on the sidewalk and off into the bushes where he celebrated his victory.
And people are watching this video.
Yeah, well, people are watching the video. It's actually an older video, but since Pizza Rat came out, now this one is having a resurgence.
Oh, all right. Well, we're not going to post that one because it's hideous. And it also points out that the pigeon was either dazed beyond its own ability to get away, or it forgot for a moment that It could fly.
Right.
And rats can't fly. Yes. It got away. All it had to do was flap his wings a couple of times. And even if it got, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 feet away, it could fly.
Yeah. But, well, a pigeon's not known as the most intelligent of animals.
No.
It's pretty funny. There's a guy off screen, whoever's filming it with their phone, you can hear a guy off screen say, well, there's one disgusting animal eating another.
That's the commentary that we needed.
Only in New York.
All right, fine. Now, the dude, what's his name? Matt. He's ridiculously smart in an antisocial sort of way, and it's fun to watch him because he'll stare off into the camera with his fake smile, and then he gets this deer-in-the-headlights look, and then he looks angry at the world. But what he's doing is he's processing an enormous amount of knowledge in his brain right before us. We're watching him. He knows things that 50 smart guys know, and he's got it all locked up in his brain. But there's one topic that did him in on Jeopardy, because I thought this fellow was never going to lose. Was his name Matt?
It was, yeah, Matt Jackson.
Is it still Matt today? It's still, okay, good.
He changed it and went into hiding.
Yes, you lost to Jeopardy. You must die. No, he's still alive, thankfully, to live on and be a smart guy with a $250,000 more in his pocket. Is that how much he won?
Almost $412,000.
Holy mackerel, really?
In 13 weeks.
Good for him. So he'll be back when they have championship.
Which I think is only a few weeks away.
Well, I can't wait. He'll dominate. He'll just destroy the other champs.
Well, the other champions were hoping that he would just keep winning so then he wouldn't come in and destroy them. And
oh, he would miss the deadline and have to be on next year's championship.
That's right. All had their fingers crossed.
So what was
the
topic that did him in?
Okay, so he has a $200 lead going into Final Jeopardy, which you think the way the guy's been performing, comfortable enough for him to be able to maintain his lead.
Yeah.
If he gets the question right. But he didn't. Here's the question, Phil. Let's test out your knowledge.
This is the answer.
You want the answer?
Well, that's how Jeopardy works. It's the answer.
Yeah. All right. You got me there. Okay. So for its 50th anniversary in 2012, the roof of this landmark was temporarily repainted to its original color, galaxy gold. Any ideas?
Galaxy gold.
2012.
And that makes it sound like
landmark.
It's an observatory, but a landmark, galaxy gold, a landmark. The all right. What is the Leaning Tower of Pizza? It's Pisa.
I'll give you a couple of hints.
It's not the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
For one, for two, it's a United States landmark.
Oh,
right.
All right.
So, still not going to help? You want to just pick a landmark?
What is the rotunda, the roof on the rotunda of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.?
No, you're close. And Jackson's guess was the Kennedy Center, which was also not correct. I believe his opponent's response was, I think he even said Dodger Stadium or something. I don't know, but they both got the answer wrong.
Okay.
Kennedy just bet more money and ended up losing, right?
Because
he put more money on the line. The correct answer is the Space Needle.
What is the Space Needle?
In Seattle. What is Space Needle,
Wow.
Yeah. And Alex Trebek did what he always does and just rubbed it into their face that they didn't know it, but he did.
Yeah.
You notice how Alex Trebek does that?
He does.
He'll give you the answer like he knew it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's real good at that.
Yeah, he's a smart ass.
Check this out real quick. When Jackson goes off, he is interviewed. He said that this is actually an endurance contest being at Jeopardy because they tape an entire week's worth of shows in a day.
Yeah. Well, that's how game shows do it.
Yeah, it's wild.
And then you don't get your money until the show airs. And sometimes the shows don't air for like 3 to 6 months.
Because they're on hiatus or whatever it may be.
I've been on a game show. I know this.
Which one?
Chuck Woolery handed me $500 in fake money on the show. And I didn't get that $500 converted into real U.S. cash money until the show aired, and it was fully 4 months later.
Chuck Woolery, isn't that the dating game or something?
Yeah, but I wasn't on the dating game.
Okay.
I was on Scrabble featuring Chuck Woolery.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. And you know who the announcer was? Famous Los Angeles DJ. Now he's a national DJ, syndicated all over the country.
Ryan Seacrest?
Charlie Tuna.
Wow. Charlie Tuna.
Yeah.
I didn't
win, though. That was bonus money. I didn't win the deal.
Huh.
I lost.
But you got your $500.
I lost to a devil lady who had evil powers.
She was good.
She was bad, and she ended up winning all week long. She destroyed everybody. She was losing. She was a moment away from losing against six different competitors. And at the last minute, something happened. She put their evil spell on them, including me. I was one answer away from winning $10,000. And I got it wrong, and she ended up winning.
Bummer. I want to go on a game show.
It's fun, and you get to be on the game show network every now and then when they show the classic stuff.
The repeats?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I hope you get a residual check for that.
Mike Stark, our executive producer, wants to know if I had got lovely parting gifts. No, I did not.
No parting gifts?
I got to shake Chuck Woolery's hand.
Oh, well, that's a parting gift.
It is.
You didn't wash your hand for a week.
Parting is such sorrow, sweet sorrow. All right, now, what if you asked a man and a woman what they would pick, sex or food, if they had a choice?
That's a tough question, isn't it?
I have the answers.
Ooh.
From both men and women, next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, added.com, to the name of the show, and you're there. And you can cruise around, check out various things there. There's always something to look at. Listen to old programs. We have 235 shows. And you can go back and listen to how the show has evolved over the years.
Evolved all the way down to just Phil Hewlett and Friend.
Well, yeah, for today, but there were plenty of days where we had four people in the studio. Other days when we had six people in the studio.
Yep.
There were, back in the early days, I had a very high voice. It's my voice has gotten deeper over time.
It's amazing the transformation you've gone through.
Yeah, and then you can also, if you can find it, it's a lot of fun. Chris actually won a contest to be on this program.
That's right.
He beat out some very stiff competition.
That's back when we were doing exclusively sports segments.
That's right.
We've certainly evolved from that.
Yeah. And I'd say you're still good at the sports, but you're good at a lot of this other stuff.
See?
All right.
Talents you didn't even know I had.
Now, here's a study that I found. There's an old cliche that the road to a man's heart is through his stomach. And it might be true, but if you want a shortcut, take the off-ramp to his genitals and save yourself a ton of cooking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, yes.
Right, does that make sense?
Yeah.
New study found that if men have the choice between food and sex, they'll pick sex.
Yeah, and I wonder at what point that transitions over, like how starving you have to be before you would actually choose food over sex.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I've always said men, this is for you ladies, men are fairly easy to understand. I mean, we don't want a lot. We want sex. We do want that. We want a sandwich from time to time, and
usually after sex.
Usually, and or a nap.
Right,
right. And we get those three things in life. We could go on and conquer giants. We really can. We could slay dragons, get a little sex and a sandwich and some sleep. We're good to go.
Yeah, and if you get them in a row, those three things in a row.
Yes, good things will happen.
Holy moly, goldmine!
Great men achieve great things after those three items happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think great men achieve great things after they find a great woman, right?
Right, because generally speaking, you can't have the three without all three of those without the other.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you can, but it's you have to be a little bit more crafty.
Yeah, that's true. Now, it's not even really a choice. Male brains are hardwired to prioritize sex over everything else, even a desire to eat. I mean, that's just how we're wired. Women don't have that same wiring. Researchers say that women will probably go for food. in most cases, if they were going to choose. It isn't just restricted to humans either. Researchers found that the same sex over food phenomenon in the male species happens for a bunch of animals, even things as unsophisticated as worms.
Hmm.
Male worms will pick sex, and female worms will pick food.
So we're biologically coded that way then.
Now, I thought worms could reproduce just on their own.
Asexually.
Yeah.
That's what I thought also.
So that's another conundrum altogether. Now, an asexual worm who can reproduce on its own, if given the choice, would it pick sex over food?
Now we're just getting crazy, Phil.
Yeah, it's like a twisted health class at school. And the teacher who teaches that class gets kicked out and run out of the business.
That's right.
And put on a list with the Department of Homeland Security.
Publicly shamed.
Now, here's something I didn't know. People in Nigeria drink more Guinness in a year than people in Ireland.
Impossible.
It's true. You know who said so? Who looked this up? They may have to apologize for this later when it's revealed that it's absolutely wrong. But CNN came up with this fact.
Well, then it must be true.
People in Nigeria drink more Guinness in a year than people in Ireland.
Seems like that could be a population thing, almost a math thing. Like if there's, say, 1 million people in Ireland, but there's 3 million people in Nigeria, just the sheer numbers alone are going to, give them the advantage in the Guinness drinking department.
Guinness is an acquired taste. And in Ireland, they had several centuries to acquire that taste. And I don't know that Guinness was even introduced in Africa until when?
The hard saying.
1800s, maybe? 1900s?
Possibly. I know I was introduced to Guinness at Mammoth Mountain during the wintertime. We were up there snowboarding.
Yes.
And no better time to have a tall Guinness than when you've just had a long day on the slopes.
So when you were introduced, you made friends quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We became very quick friends.
Okay.
Worked out well.
How was the pour? Was it a perfect pour?
It was a perfect pour, and it had the four-leaf clover. Well, in this case, a three-leaf clover.
Yeah.
Put in the top of the head of the beer.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Which only a skilled bartender can
do.
Good
for you. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about worms reproducing asexually.
We sure were. I don't know how we got there, but...
I'm gonna take us there and then come back to how humans reproduce. And so we're going to skip the act, but the fact is that the baby has to come out sooner or later. And sometimes the baby comes out when you don't expect it to. And you know that saying, is there a doctor in the house? Seems like there always is one when you need one. Tell us what happened here, Chris.
Okay, so we're talking about a very interesting case of someone having a baby early. There was a group of people on a transcontinental flight from Taiwan to Los Angeles. So this is like a 17-hour flight. It's a very long flight.
Wow.
And it landed with an extra passenger, and based on the lead-up, you can tell why. A woman's water broke like just a couple of hours into this 17-hour flight.
Okay.
Now, I have never seen a woman during the birthing process, right? But the water breaking doesn't mean you're going to have the baby in 10 minutes,
no,
right?
No. It could be 3-4 hours before you even feel any of the pain or the pangs of the contractions.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. So her water breaks a few hours into the flight, but she doesn't actually begin to deliver the baby until something like 12 hours later or 10 hours later. And Phil, like you said, there was a doctor on board the plane. So the doctor gathers up.
Imagine that,
go
right?
Figure. This doctor was not an OBGYN, though. Delivering babies isn't something that this doctor practiced regularly. It just so happens that you're also taught that as you're taught to be
a
doctor.
And it makes sense. I mean, you understand the inner workings of the body forwards and backwards.
Yeah.
And that's good. And you can't land the plane on a transcontinental because you're probably over a body of water.
That's right. That's right. And so what does the pilot do? The pilot says, hey, I need to make an emergency diversion. They actually flight the plane over to Anchorage, Alaska. So right before they land is when the baby's born in Anchorage, Alaska.
How about that?
Yeah. And so the woman is 8 weeks. She's 8 weeks pre her due date. So 2 months.
Oh, that's a premature baby. So she
really
was
is.
Not expecting that baby to be born, but something about being up in an airplane.
Yeah.
Maybe that did something.
Yeah, maybe the pressure. Maybe if you're a little bit anxious about being in a plane, might speed up the process a little bit.
What am I doing? I'm a terrible mom already. The baby's not even born, and I'm taking her up on this flight for 17 hours. I'm just, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you're scared. You're concerned. And so then one of the other issues that comes up with this is, Phil, do you think that when this baby was born, as we're getting ready to touch down in Anchorage, that it now becomes an American citizen since it was born over American soil?
Oh, wait a minute. Rewind a little bit. What did I miss? The lady's from where?
She's from Taiwan. She's a Taiwanese woman.
And the baby was born in international airspace.
In international air. She was born in the air, but as they were getting ready to touch down over Anchorage, Alaska, the airport in Anchorage.
You have the answer to this?
I do.
Don't tell me.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Was the baby an American citizen?
Dun, dun, dun.
A Taiwanese citizen or a citizen of the world?
That answer and more.
Yeah. Plus, our five most common fears. You may have one of these. I'm looking at the list now, and I have a bunch of these fears. Including a robot taking your job. That's one of the most common fears.
Not in radio.
Sure.
I suppose so, huh?
Yeah. Somebody could type out what I'm saying, and then the voice-to-text thing takes over. Ooh. It'd be a great deal more interesting than what we're talking about right now.
I could listen to Siri all day long.
Is the baby an American citizen, a Taiwanese citizen, or a citizen of the world?
Dun-dun-dun.
On Phil Hewlett and Friends. Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're talking about this baby that was born on an airplane. And our executive producer, Mike Stark, had an idea. He said, what airline was it, Chris? Do you remember?
China Airlines.
All right, so he was thinking, okay, this China Airlines is registered to China, then it's a Chinese baby. It's like if you were born on a cruise ship out in international waters, and the cruise ship is registered to Latvia, and you were born on that ship, then you would be Latvian.
Hmm. That seems like a leap. Mike shaking his head back there.
Now, I don't know if that's the case, but it just seems like maybe, territorially, the countries may have something to say about it and maybe something in their rule book, in their playbook, that says, yeah, that baby's ours.
It makes sense. That's one angle to look at it with, but that's not exactly what the case is. So, this is weird, and this answer might not be satisfying to you guys, but the citizenship will actually be determined by the Anchorage hospital in which the baby was brought to after the plane landed. So they issue the birth certificate, and apparently it's up to them on whether they write Taiwan or whether they write Alaska as the place of birth on the birth certificate, which they may actually discuss that with the mother and see what
the mother wants. Are there a different set of fees involved for that decision?
No, it's literally just someone writing something on a birth certificate.
You can pay us $1,000 today for China. Or for $50, we'll put United States, Anchorage, Alaska.
Well, it would probably be the opposite in compensation because there are a lot of women who fly over here and have their babies so they can have U.S. citizenship, you see. And probably do pay for that to be written on the birth certificates.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah.
Because we're a very popular place, Phil, the United States.
I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say moving your family to Anchorage to have a baby is a popular solution.
But once you're an American citizen, you can go to any state you want.
Of course.
But yeah, Anchorage, I wouldn't prefer that one either.
Although the whole Alaska thing is getting real popular these days. Have you taken note as to how many reality shows are set in Alaska?
I only know one, and that's that redneck show where all those kids almost killed each other pulling off crazy stunts.
Yes, there's that one, but there's like seven others.
Oh, yeah, there is a gold mining one from up there also.
Oh, where they go underwater in the Bering Straits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that looks cool.
And then there's like two or three different mountain men in Alaska stories. There's an extreme Alaska survival storyline.
Bear Grylls style?
Yeah, yeah. There are all sorts of them.
Yeah, that's too much. It's too much effort for me to live in a place like that.
It must be real cheap to film in Alaska.
I'll bet. Yeah, I don't know what their state taxes are like, but that's why everybody's filming in New Mexico and
Florida. You go to the Alaska Film Board or Tourism or wherever it is that you go when you apply for your license, and they say, okay, just give me a 10 spot and you're good to go, and don't get eaten by a bear.
Right, yeah.
And that's what they say.
Uh-huh.
And then you go and you do the show.
Yeah. Wish you good luck and send you on your way.
Yeah, yeah. All right. You going to do up the house with some Halloween decorations?
A little bit. Yeah, there will be a pumpkin. This is happening actually as we speak. There will be a couple of pumpkins out there, the lights inside.
I picked up a couple of pumpkins that I can't carry at the same time. I have to carry one at a time.
Because they're so big?
They're enormous.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, they're huge.
Love that.
And I'm trying to decide if I'm going to cut them or paint them. Because this year it seems like painting pumpkins is all the rage.
Yeah, but you can't see it at night.
No, but if you put some nice lights in the right place and some dry ice and beakers and make it nice and spooky and add some music.
I like that.
Some creepy music and maybe the sounds of zombies.
Yes.
Exactly. You know how to record sound.
That's right.
You could probably do some scary stuff out there.
I say cut it, though, Phil.
Cut it?
Yeah, because then you have a whole, it makes for a whole evening. You've got to gut the pumpkin, then you get the pumpkin seeds.
I thought that was a movie reference.
Gut the pumpkin?
Cut it.
No.
Cut it.
Cut the pumpkin.
It was Rocky.
Or paint it, or maybe do a combination of both, but please cut at least one of those ginormous pumpkins.
Okay. All right. You know what has become a trend 20 years, or maybe even 30 years, after I started it? You know what I'm thinking? When my kids were little, it's going on almost 30 years. My oldest is 27. All right? So going on 30 years. I used to have a tradition at the house where I made a pumpkin, and it was a head, basically, and the mouth would open up, and the eyes were all squinty and pained, and there was the innards of the pumpkin were coming out of the mouth. And,
oh, yeah.
And I called it the Barf Boy, and I gave it a body. It had this, like, outfit that it wore, and it propped up on the house just right. It looked like it was standing there and just having a Technicolor wretch right there on the porch.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that one.
Now, everybody does that.
You're saying you started that?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh.
Because it didn't become a trend until
Sitting next to a legend.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for almost 30 years. But I quit when other people started doing it. I said, okay, it's over. It's jumped the shark.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think it's one of the coolest designs out there when you're setting up pumpkins to have that pumpkin just barf in its seeds and guts all over the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Right. Yeah. I think that you could do some other things. You can make a pumpkin brick road up to your house. You cut off the tops of the pumpkins and the sides, and then you put a sign that says, whatever you do, don't step on this.
Right. Yeah, because it'll crush the pumpkins.
And then by the end of the night, it'll be completely pumpkin soup.
It's just a mess.
All the kids will walk on it.
And imagine the dogs that come by, and they'll eat it.
The snails and the slugs, and people will slip and fall into that mess. It'll be great fun.
Don't do that one.
Okay, I won't.
But roast the pumpkin seeds. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Those are good, too.
I've done it. I'm just afraid somebody's going to get hurt, that's all. But you know what? Here are the most common fears that we have. Chapman University, which is in California, not too far from here. In fact, I'm going there later today, as a coincidence, asked people what they're most afraid of. And there were 88 choices on this poll that they took. And here are the five most common fears out of 88.
Good. I want to hear these.
Off of the list. Government corruption.
What?
People are afraid of that.
I thought we were talking about like spiders and snakes and stuff.
Cyber terrorism. Companies tracking your personal info.
Oh, my.
Terrorist attacks and the government tracking your personal info. Those are the five most, the things that people are most afraid of out of the list of 88.
Well, that's boring.
But there's other stuff on the list that we're afraid of that are way more entertaining, right?
Yeah, I thought it was like the dark. You know, you're afraid of the dark. Or
yeah. And I'll start at the back of the list. 4%, people making fun of how you dress.
Yeah. Public ridicule.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that should be up there higher than
7%. And Hollywood will be sad to hear this because it seems like this is a recurring theme in all the horror movies. Only 7% list clowns as the thing they're most afraid of.
Well, apparently they haven't seen the movie It.
Oh, God. 9% zombies. And I teach at a junior college, and every year I ask the class who believes in the zombie apocalypse. And it routinely is 40% of the class. And this year's class, 40%, believe that there's going to be a zombie apocalypse. They honestly believe it.
That's Hollywood corrupting our children.
I guess so. 10% ghosts.
Okay.
11% people making fun of your weight.
All right. More public ridicule.
More afraid of that than ghosts.
Hmm.
What if a ghost made fun of your weight?
Oh, yeah. That's just a double whammy.
Yeah. I'm the ghost of banana cream pie past.
All right.
Fatty. 17% spontaneously dropping dead. Well, you know, if you focus on that, you're going to get hit by a car and you're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems irrational.
White people no longer being the majority, 18%.
Okay, well, yeah.
Wow, guys,
come
on.
Have to throw the racists on the list.
I guess so. 18% are afraid of that. 19%, needles.
Okay. Yeah, there's. I'm not one of them, but yeah. I can understand it.
Walking around barefoot at the park?
I think more like even just getting a vaccination or something like
that. Oh, that kind of needle.
Yeah, yeah, like a doctor saying, okay, we've got to give you a shot.
Not like
whatever.
Like spent heroin hypodermic needles.
I don't think that's
in the
what
sand at the park
of.
Next to the swings.
That's scary too. But.
Yeah, all right. 27% afraid of heights.
Yeah.
See, now we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
28%. Now, this is something that I teach children is absolutely ridiculous, and it's just reinforced by stupid adults who tell you that they are afraid of public speaking. 28%. You know why you're afraid of public speaking?
Anxiety.
No, it's, yeah, you're not.
Fear of public ridicule.
You're not afraid of it. It's you're focused on yourself. That's why you're afraid. You're focused on yourself rather than your audience. You should focus on your audience. You're giving them a gift. You're telling them something they didn't know. You're entertaining. You're informing. Or you're telling them that's something they couldn't wait to hear about. And that's your duty. Focus on doing that for the audience. Care about your audience. You'll forget about yourself for a minute. And when the speech is all over, you got plenty of time to be nervous.
Well said. Well said. Picturing them naked doesn't hurt either.
It does hurt. Now you're disrespecting your audience, and you stop caring about them, and you'll start focusing on yourself again.
Well, I'm going to have to change my public speaking technique.
Although, you know, every now and then, hey.
Yeah, let the imagination wander.
Look at the front row to the right. Holy mackerel. 29%, a robot taking your job. And the number one thing people are afraid of, and these are common fears, 33% are afraid of snakes.
Oh, huh. Would you rather touch, a snake or a spider? Which one of those two are you more afraid of?
Well, depending on the snake and depending on the spider. Really?
Okay, a tarantula or
I would let a tarantula walk on my arm. A boa constrictor could squish my arm.
But slowly. You could get out of there before it really got a hold of you.
Well, okay, if I got some olive oil all over the arm first.
Right.
You know, lubed it up a bit.
Okay.
And then let the snake on my arm.
Safety net.
I think I'd be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how about a black widow or a king cobra?
No.
Which one?
Holy crap. Now you're being ridiculous. That's an absurd choice.
Well, you have to pick one.
No, the black widow is, if you get close enough to a black widow to let it crawl on you, it's probably fearing for its life, and it will bite you, and you will go to the hospital.
Mm. The cobra, on the other hand, you could just play the flute in front of it, and it would
reach out and grab it by the neck and walk around with it, right?
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm not skilled
in that. Stick it in a burlap bag.
I'm not skilled at that whatsoever. Okay. Now, Halloween is coming, and I have a story for you coming up on the program. Do you think black cats are bad luck?
I've always heard that. Black cats, ladders, broken mirrors.
What I have to tell you on the next segment of this program will completely throw you off. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
All right, it's our final segment on this edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here, and so are you. We thank you for tuning in. Now, if a black cat crosses your path, it's supposed to be bad luck, right?
That's right, yeah.
Fortunately, and that's not racist, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
Unless you're a black cat, then yeah, I'd be offended.
Fortunately, it looks like that superstition is dead, and not only dead, it's flipped. According to a new survey, 59%, 5-9, of people actually think black cats are good luck. And here's more. 46% who've owned a black cat say they won a contest or the lottery. 63% of people who say black cats are unlucky also believe in ghosts.
Hmm. So it's a superstitious thing. Get over it, black cats.
46% of people who own a black cat have won a contest or a lottery.
So they're good luck.
Black cat is good luck. 63% of who say black cats are unlucky also believe in ghosts. So they're not balanced in the brain.
Yeah, I've never been afraid of black cats or thought that they were bad luck. Besides, have you ever seen a cooler looking cat than the ones that are all jet black and then they have those yellow eyes?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Usually they're the ones that live under the bush at the mall.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah. And here's the final thing about black cats. 35% of women have dressed up as a black cat for Halloween.
Well, that's Catwoman.
Yeah. It's a cat suit.
Yep. I'm a fan of that costume.
Are you?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a sexy costume.
Sure is.
There's nothing wrong with sexy Halloween costumes.
No.
Remember, every year they have sexy this, sexy that. Sexy plumber was hot for 1 year. Remember that?
Yeah, sexy anything really works.
Yeah.
It's a longstanding tradition.
Now, one thing that could really freak you out, scary-wise, is if you're having your meal and all of a sudden your food, your food starts jumping around on the plate.
Yes.
That would freak you out, wouldn't
it? Yes, yes it would. And by the way, when you say that, how many foods can you think of where you think that that's even a possibility?
Well, in South Korea, they eat the little live octopus.
Yeah.
Octopi.
Yeah.
And they let them twirl around on their chopstick, and then they put it in their mouth live, and they have to swallow it just right. Otherwise, the octopus chokes the person who's imbibing it.
Yeah.
And so it's a rush. It's a thrill. I could die eating this, but I'm just going to gulp down this live octopus.
Yeah. That is gross.
But if you expect your food to just lay there and submit to being eaten.
Yeah, like a cow or a chicken or something. Once they hit your plate, you're not worried about it moving around.
It's already dead. It's pining for the fjords.
Mm-hmm. Well, sort of in the same vein as the octopi.
Yeah.
This was a sushi fish.
Yeah?
That came back. Do you like sushi, Phil?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, big fan. Love sushi. So a group of people were having sushi. Okay, here we go. Ikizukuri style. You know what ikizukuri style is?
No, I don't. Is that straight out of the aquarium?
Basically, yeah. Ikizukuri style is the freshest way of preparing sashimi fish. And basically what happens is you eat right off the fish's body. So the whole fish is on the plate.
Oh.
All the internal organs still intact.
Yeah.
And then all the chef does is sort of peel back the skin so the space between the tail and the head is exposed. And then you dig into it.
So it's like you're a big, like a brown bear at catching a salmon as it's swimming up river to spawn.
Exactly.
And you've got the thing in your mouth.
You just palm this thing out of the river, and now you're...
Well, why would I pay to sit down at a restaurant for that?
Because it's the freshest style of sushi that a person can have.
Okay, fine.
Now, so these restaurant guests, they're digging into the body of this fish when it began to twitch.
Uh-oh.
You know,
uh-oh.
Its fin twitched. Then its tail flipped.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Did it have a head on it?
It did. Oh. And then it jumped off the plate.
No! And it already had bites in it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could see it on anywhere you want on the intranet.
It was a zombie fish.
It was. Well, the thing is the fish is still basically alive. All its organs... Now, it's not alive. If you've ever been fishing, you know that you can reel a fish in off the boat.
And it's going to flop around
for hours.
It's going to
flop around as to it. You could even chop its head off and it'll still...
It's like a chicken. If you take the head off the chicken, it's going to run around the room for a half an hour.
And that's what this fish did.
Yeah.
Only it did it in front of a bunch of patrons at a restaurant. The patrons all freaked out, put it on YouTube. Next thing you know...
Are they screaming?
3 million people looking at it. Yeah, they screamed.
Oh, so they got their money's worth.
Great. Yeah. And then they finished eating the fish.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
You got that video? We should post
that. Didn't scare them.
We should post that video.
I think it's gross, though.
Well, yeah, well... People like gross.
Some people do, but I'm not a fan. I mean, this fish is literally on the plate, and then it starts moving after it's been dug into.
People in various walks of life fall into love, and sometimes they fall into a love triangle.
Ooh.
And things get a little hinky.
I think that's called a menage a trois, Phil.
You know a zoo is terrible when the staff is more out of control than the animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe that means the zoo is amazing. 30-year-old Caroline Westlake was the meerkat expert at the London Zoo in England, London, England. And last year, she dated Adam Davies, who worked at the zoo as the llama keeper. Okay, so we have the meerkat expert and the llama keeper in love. But Adam, the llama keeper, had also dated Kate Sanders, the zoo's monkey handler.
Okay.
And their dirty, sexy meerkat expert llama keeper monkey handler love triangle boiled over at the zoo's Christmas party.
Oh. Wait, wait, you're saying all three of these people were actually dating each other?
Romantically
together.
Involved.
All right, great.
You know? They were having a dirty monkey llama meerkat love.
Wow. That's a visual.
Caroline said she heard Kate insult her looks, so they got into a fight, and Caroline hit Kate in the face with a wine glass. It left a permanent scar on Kate's cheek. So Caroline was fired and just got sentenced to 80 hours of community service for assault. She also had to pay Kate $1,235 in compensation, which sounds to me like that's like 650 pounds.
Yeah, that's not very much.
Now, I don't know what happened to Adam Davies. He got to just stand there and watch, but it sounds like he got off scot-free.
Yeah.
To go work with his llama.
It's a man's world, Phil.
I guess so.
He gets to stand by, watch a girl fight.
Imagine you're at his house and... Would you like to see my llama?
Yeah.
Right?
I've seen llamas.
Yeah.
Llamas are great, yeah.
And then the other one, would you like to come up to my flat and see my meerkat collection?
Yeah, I'm debating on which one's better, the meerkat trainer or chimpanzee or the monkey trainer.
I don't know.
Those would be fun.
Wild monkey love, right?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
All right, we love your comments. Just don't hit us with a wine glass. But you can click on contact at Phil Hewlett and Friends. Fill out the form. We'll respond to you, I promise. You can find us on Twitter, at Faf Show. That's PHAF, like Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're on Facebook. Like us over there. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. And our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who... Holy cow, he's here.
No way.
He is. Oh. Our music, our theme song, is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Chris and for all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.